Looking for a more affordable way to own in 2026? With shared ownership at Latimer Homes, you can reserve your new home for just £26 before the 26th January. Lower upfront costs, modern, stylish homes, and a clearer path onto the property ladder, making it easier than ever to step into home ownership. Find out more at latimerhomes.com. T's and C's apply.
Today we're exploring a type of burnout most people don't even know they're experiencing. Burnout rooted in generational trauma. Willie Handler, whose memoir, Out from the Shadows, uncovers how his parents' experience as a Holocaust survivor shaped his own emotional patterns. Willie is here to talk to us about awareness, release, and finally putting down what your family has been carrying for so far too long, far too long. I love this topic. Willie, how would you describe, define generational trauma in a way that people can easily understand? And welcome back to the show. And I'm so excited because I have your book now and it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Here in the background. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Hey,
I love it.
It looks good there. It looks really
it does
good.
Look good.
Okay, signs of burnout.
Generational trauma, and yeah, what is first, let's get into what generational trauma is, and then we can talk about how that can transform into burnout or how that could lead it.
Well, and since I experience it myself, then it's pretty easy to explain. So intergenerational trauma is when a parent, a grandparent, you know, one of your ancestors has a traumatic event. They survive it, obviously. And the trauma alters their genetic material, their DNA, and it gets passed on to future generations. And so it's surprising, people are surprised to find out that the trauma that the grandfather experienced in World War II is impacting on them because they were not in World War II. They weren't even alive. And
yeah,
it's very hard to, for people to understand, but that trauma that gets passed on genetically, it becomes part of you without you being aware of it. And in my case, I spent decades walking around with trauma that I didn't even know and wasn't even aware existed. And you know, it makes for a lot of bumps in the road in your life along the way until you finally recognize it and begin to deal with it.
Yeah. So how can inherited trauma lead to burnout?
Well, I think it really, and it's going to vary from person to person, but now in my case, my father, for those who don't know, I think Lisa does know that my father, my parents were Holocaust survivors. My father was in a number of different concentration camps. He was essentially slave labor for 3-4 years. What kept him alive was his work ethic. So he had to basically work his butt off and so that they did not, so he would survive selections that the Nazis would do, and the weaker workers were put to death. And
right.
So that kind of a trauma, it was buried in, you know, was basically absorbed by his DNA and passed on to me. And so that's how I achieved it. And for people, for different people, it's different settings, but you know, it's always going to be something very, very similar. So during my work life, I worked my butt off. And I always was worried that if I didn't, something bad would happen.
Mm.
Seriously. And The irony of it all was that, and I would have never turned down a challenge if I was somebody want to work on this or whatever, and I would me, because I was worried. I was literally always worried about my job, so and I had to prove myself to others who really knew I didn't need to prove myself to them. All I was doing is proving myself to myself. And I was winning tributes and awards at work and worried about losing my job at the same time. They have an absolute irony, and that's kind of what it looked like. So what and so what happens is you become overstressed, exhausted, have problems sleeping, and a lot of things suffer as a result. And you can develop all kinds of health issues because that level of stress is just not healthy.
I can relate to that. My parents were workaholics. My dad was just working all the time. When he wasn't at his job, he was outside in the garage working on the property. And my mom was working and always doing something. And so when I was in the workforce and doing my 9 to 5, I felt the same way. I thought that I had to like bust my butt all the time, and I never felt safe in that work environment. And I know exactly what it feels like to start feeling that burnout. What are some subtle signs that someone's exhaustion might actually be rooted in their family history, or what are some subtle signs of burnout?
I would say you become irritable, short-tempered. You'll have problems focusing. It's a whole slew of different things that you can't ever connect on your own to trauma. And it's And you just feel exhausted all the time. And what made it worse for me was I was one of those people who believed in a work-life balance. So what did I do? I worked my butt off at work, and then I did all kinds of stuff at home, with kids, volunteered in the community. I was just in total overdrive. And so I could say that I had a healthy work-life balance. Neither of them were healthy. And it was just I lived a ridiculous life. And I'm still struggling with that same trauma. It pushes me to do things that I should not be doing.
So, how does growing up with a parent who lived through trauma shape a child's sense of responsibility, pressure, or perfectionism then?
It's funny that's kind of like my reaction. My dad, who I think I inherited most of my trauma from, he was not a perfectionist, right? And in fact, he was not that involved in my life because he was a workaholic, and he worked 7 days a week for a good portion of his life, and he would come home late, irritable, and didn't want to be bothered. And so that's the interesting thing is, so it's not like he was the model for being a perfectionist, but in my head, I figured, well, I have to do things. If I don't do things perfectly right, I'm going to be at risk. Something bad is going to happen, and so you're driven in so many different ways. on, so not just on output, but quality and you name it.
Absolutely.
And on, here's what made it even more complicated is that, and because of my father's background, where you want to stay alive, so you want to work your butt off, but you also don't want to be noticed too much because, in that kind of an environment, being noticed can lead to some very bad things. And so, in my work life, I did all this work, but from I did not want to be in the limelight.
Right.
And so it like, and so there was that. It was even more complicated than what a lot of other people experience, which is actually part of the reason why the name of the book, my memoir, is Out of the Shadow, is because when I finally recognized it, I realized that I needed to stop doing those kind of things and sort of step into, I guess, the spotlight, and which is, I know a number of years ago, I could never have done this interview.
Right. So why do you think then, like, so many people are going through this, but they push themselves to the point of exhaustion without understanding the deeper emotional part?
Because part of it is, and so, and particularly men, they don't want to talk about how they feel. What they do the opposite. They block off those feelings.
Yeah.
They're not, and so you, if you spend a lot enough time blocking off those feelings, those emotions, pretending you're not exhausted, you're not irritable, you're not stressed. And so you just, you don't, after a while, you don't realize what's happening to you. One day you walk into a doctor's office reluctantly, and he will, you know, he or she will freak out because you have high blood pressure, your cholesterol is shooting up, all kinds of warning signs that you're not doing well. Because your body is responding to all that stress. Keeping in mind, and something I'll talk about late, you know, is also that your hormones are suppressed. Your hormone production is suppressed by stress. Why? Because when you are, it's kind of like when you're in a sort of a dangerous situation, your body kicks in. It cuts off certain hormones and other things in your body so that you can respond to that stressor. So that's short-term stress. But when you, but if you experience long-term stress, well, that stuff gets shut down for a long time. So, for guys who, your testosterone level will start to drop, and you're going to really feel that. So, you know, you might be 40 years old, but your body is dying for testosterone, and you feel like a 70-year-old.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So when you were starting to feel this burnout and starting to connect the dots, what did you discover about your own burnout that was similar to your own parents' stories? And like, what was that moment like when you discovered, like, oh my gosh, this is not mine. This is actually inherited.
You know, it never happened in my doctor's office.
Okay.
I think there, I reached a certain point where I started crashing emotionally and decided I had to do something different. And so I actually searched out and found a therapist who could help me. And it was through that process of opening up that I finally discovered, A, I had intergenerational trauma. I was overstressed, high anxiety, And then, like, all the pieces start to fit together. Oh, well, I have high blood pressure. Well, no wonder. And so on and so forth. So, it's about, if you want to drop dead by the time you're 60, that, this is a good way of doing it. But I'm fortunate that I did not. Probably because along with all my trauma came a lot of resilience. And I'm always able to sort of bounce back from th things. But what I did learn is why I am the way I am. And when once you understand that, you can actually change the way you work, your relationships, all kinds of things once you get it. But if you don't get it, you're just, it's like you're in a house of horrors, banging into the walls, not being able to find your way out.
Yeah, so you're repeating that loop. It's like a cycle that gets generated, passed down generation to generation to generation, and it's like you're on that spinning wheel and you're not going anywhere, and you just repeat those patterns.
And so, how many times do people blame it on the job or their boss? And
Yeah.
they'll switch jobs, they'll have another boss, and won't it be any different? Because it's not the job, it's the way you're doing it. And it's coming from within.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're writing your memoir, did it shift the way you understood your own fatigue and emotional landscape?
That was very much a part of the process. And I talk about it in the book. Because the book is sort of like almost an investigative memoir, I call it, because I had to do a lot of soul searching and research to write that book. And so I start describing what my intergenerational trauma looks like, which I, when people read it, a lot of people relate to it. They see the same signs in themselves. And in fact, I might as well write a follow-up book about it because I'm still learning. And since I've written that book, and it's only been out 1 year, I've learned much, much more about how I'm operating and sort of the relationship between my parents' trauma and my emotional outlook and my mental health and so on and so forth. It's just an ongoing learning process. And as you learn more, you're able to modify your behavior and still be productive. But you'll be happier and you'll have stronger relationships. There's a lot of positives that come out of this. You don't lose anything.
So, I guess this is an interesting question. How do you start to separate your own stress from your family stress? Like, how do you know the difference?
From my perspective, stress is stress. It doesn't really matter what the source is. The impact on you is the same. And so it's learning how. So part of this whole thing, and I can say that in my case, not maybe not in everyone else's case, but in my case, taking the therapeutic route was the right thing to do. Because it provided me with a safe environment to talk about what was bothering me, and talk about why, or therapists helped me discover why I was feeling the way I did, and talk about how to fix that. And so. Getting back to your question, how do you separate the, it doesn't really matter. You need to remove the stress from your life. And so part of it is identifying where that stress is coming from. It's not your boss, it's not your job, it's yourself and what you're doing to yourself. And how do you make yourself, how do you sort of renew yourself, become a become a contributor to your family, to your workplace, to community without stressing yourself out, which sometimes means you need to find a proper pace so that you can do all those things you want to do without trying to kill yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's no joke. Stress is definitely trapped in the body. Trauma gets trapped in the body and causes all of that. I remember being so irritated when I was going through my own trauma-based related issues with my generational trauma. And it's like someone could breathe wrong and I want to like snap at them, you know, and that's not a fun place to be. So what kind of tools or practices or perspectives have been really helpful for you in treating your own process?
Well, certainly, for me, the sort of the I keep coming back to it, but going for therapy was huge because things would be raised, and I tend to be a bit of an overthinker, and I walk away from a session processing everything we talk about. And what am I gonna do about what I found out about myself? And that's so important. It's like if you don't stop to think about what you're doing and why you're doing things, you just continue doing what you've always done, and you're not gonna do things differently. And that was critical for me. I had a conversation this week with my therapist because I still tend to take on too many things, and she said, what would happen to you if someone came to you with a project, an idea, and you said no? What bad is going to happen?
Right.
And I had a hard time explaining. Obviously, nothing bad is going to happen. But mentally, I was always in this place was yes, something bad would happen. But when you start to think things through rationally and you start to process all these things, you start to realize, yeah, that's not important. Why? Just say no. And I practiced it today. Somebody emailed me and wanted to interview me for an article or something like that. And I just said, no. I said I'm taking time off from doing all those kind of things. And if you want, you can reach out to me, early in the, sometime in the new year. There was a time when I would not have said no.
So it's about prioritizing yourself and realizing that the life is still going to go on even if you don't do all of the things.
That's right. And people confuse themselves and their career. And your career isn't you. So when you think you're prioritizing your career, you're not prioritizing yourself. And so you have to think about yourself and how you can make your career work. And feeling good about yourself. And it's possible, but it takes a lot of work and rethinking how you do things. I wasn't a very good at delegating. Now in my life, I have no one to delegate to, but I sure would now. And so if I have no one to delegate with, I have to say no. Part of my other, my problem was, growing up, my parents weren't really there for me. They were just working. They were, they were loving parents, but they weren't there emotionally for me. I made all the decisions in my life on my own from a very young age, and I learned, and as a result, I never knew how to ask for help because I never had to. And my wife will yell at me, "Why are you frustrating yourself working on this or that? What something like that? Get help." No, I'll do it myself. And that's the other part. That's the other part of it is that, so part of it is that to work more efficiently, and take all that take all that pressure off of you and distribute it around, and not put it all on your own shoulders.
Yeah, it's tough to do. That's something I struggle with too, is the delegating and not feeling like I have to do everything myself, because I saw my family doing everything themselves, and they never talked about what they were going through. They never talked about their struggles. They just like kept stuffing all of the garbage that would happen to them down lower and lower and lower. And then it like there was times where everyone would explode once in a while. And then so when you're around that, you just normalize it, and you're like, oh,
Yeah.
this is, I guess this is the way life is supposed to be, right?
And
And
that's the thing
then
is,
you go about doing it that way yourself. And then it's just you carry that on, and then you realize it, and then you start doing things differently. And I believe that's how you create those new emotional patterns, so you don't pass them along to your own children.
and it's interesting, my father never trusted anyone.
Yeah.
Not surprising with his background. And so what I grew up,
Yeah, no kidding.
I
Like that's
started.
understandable, right? Like being in those
So I,
concentration camps.
yeah, and you don't know who to trust. And, at times, though you needed to, because you needed part of surviving that environment is having some people around you to support you, because there are days you're not doing well. And you will need help. But so I grew up not trusting people as well. I'm in a work environment. I should be giving someone something to do, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I can do it better. Why am I going to pass it on to someone? I can just do it, and I can do it better and faster. And so I would just do it myself and turn around. So what a shock when I left my job, when they were when they replaced me, when they hired a new person, the first thing the new person did was hire more staff. I was going, how did this department do so much work with so few people? Well, I was doing it all.
What do you think gives you hope about the next generation's willingness to face and heal their own generational trauma? Do you think there's a pattern that is coming that more people are wanting to help themselves?
Well, I mean, I'm what you call, I think what you call a boomer or something like that. I know for, I know for a fact, because I've been interviewing other people with intergenerational trauma, and is a sort of a broad age group. From the youngest was 22, and the oldest was 78. So they're quite a mix, and millennials are much different than boomers. They're much more in touch with their feelings, and will I think are much more open to looking at how they live and the environment around them, things like that. I spoke to the older person. They were not open to changing sometimes. They were, they're in a mess, and they're just willing to live the way they are without fixing themselves. And I'm 72. It's never too late to fix yourself. Never. Why not? I was kind of sobbing a little bit with my therapist, why did I do this to myself for so many years? I'm going, and it's so late now, but that's okay. So live out the rest of your life, living a healthier, happier life.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's never too late. And there really is no perspective of time. Like the universe is just, it's ours to enjoy. So I think a lot of people can relate to that though, because I know, I mean, you know my history of addiction, and for a while when I got sober and was going through that, I was like, oh my God, I just wasted a whole decade of my life. And that was something I had to come to terms with, is that I didn't waste that time, that there's still so much time, and to make the best out of the current situation, because really all we have is this current moment right now.
You know, I live. I've had a very good life. I've had lots of successes. You know, I have a nice family. You know, and you know, that book is a wonderful legacy. And I know it could have been better. And so, part of after I wrote that book, part of my I felt that I should do with whatever I have remaining is to sort of talk to people, teach people how to turn around their lives the same way I did, which is why not be as successful as you are and be happier and healthier? Because success is not mutually exclusive to being healthy and happy. And having a successful career is not necessarily going to make you happy. There's more to life. There's more to life than that. And so, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing is I'm hoping that some people at least listening will say, well, take a look at their life, take a look at their family. And maybe they can identify some trauma back in, you know, back in their past generations, whether it's the parents or grandparent, and see how they can fix themselves and move forward.
I love that. So, Willie, why don't you tell everyone where you can find you and get this beautiful book?
Okay. Well, the book is available on Amazon. It's called Out for the Shadows. That lovely cover is in 2022 I went to Poland where my father's family was from, and that's sort of like a stylized photo of my grandparents' apartment building. The
Oh,
last one
interesting.
they lived in. The last one they lived in before they perished. And I have I'm very active on social media. Probably Lisa's noticed. I have a website. It's willyhandler.com. And I'm very active, like a lot of other writers, because what we didn't talk about is that that's not my first book. I was a novelist before I was a memoirist, and so I have a Substack account, which is a gold mine for essays that I write about all kinds of things, including trauma. And so if you search for Willie Handler on Substack, you'll come upon it. I welcome you to subscribe. I have a newsletter there as well, so you'll get a newsletter monthly on what I'm doing, and information about other kinds of interviews that I do and things like that, and presentations, because I do things online as well and in person. Did I
Amazing.
miss anything, Lisa?
I don't think so. And we're going to have those links in the show notes
Yeah,
anyway. So
by the
people.
way, you know, I'm not adding to that anymore because I'm not going to burn myself out anymore. So what I've done is done.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it. You're doing enough. You're doing a lot. You're making a difference by sharing your story and by getting this amazing content out into the world. If you could offer one message to someone who feels exhausted and doesn't know why, what would you tell them?
Speak to your healthcare provider, and be perfectly blunt and open about what you're feeling and what you should do. And you and your healthcare provider should be able to refer you to someone, and you can spend some time learning more about yourself and what you can do and how you can make yourself better and feel better. I think that's how you start.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here and for this amazing conversation.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been so fun. And to our audience, please do not forget to like and subscribe. We will have those links in the show notes for you to check out more of Willie Handler's masterpieces. And that includes his memoir, Out from the Shadows. If you're feeling tired, lethargic, irritable, and you don't quite know why, like Willie said, go get checked out, talk to someone, and start rewriting your future. Because it's no fun to live in that trauma. Until next time, take care, everyone.